Quickly, let's read, or let me read one portion of the scriptures that will remind us of where we are. And that's from the book of Mark chapter 4, verse 24. That's the one we have been reading. The book of, well, it's like been the main thrust of the thing that I'm teaching in this season. I've been talking about the importance that the word of God has in our various lives and how we relate to it being the determinant of what we are going to experience. The way life is that God has given us great things to accomplish. But he says that in accomplishing those great things, you don't need to do anything great. You will follow the simple instructions that he's given, and great results will be accomplished in your life. And that's what we said the Bible means by the word grace. Grace we often describe as unmerited favor. That's not exactly what grace is. I'm not saying we merit it, but what characterizes grace is the power of God. Are you getting my point? That is, he said, by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his power working towards me did not prove it. That is, the grace of God is characterized by the release of his power. And I'm preaching again this afternoon for us to understand that that release of God's power is by certain things that we do, which all describe the principle of faith. I hope you get the point. Those things describe the principle of faith. So God gives us, expects great things out of our lives, but he has given us little things to do by which we will manifest those great things. All right, so one of those major things I want to look at in this series, and we've been looking at that, as how we relate with the word of God. And just to mention, in the series of CDs that we have, there's this series titled Profiting from the Word of God, all right? Or then in another of our series, we have another one titled Relating Fruitfully with God's Word. Let's just try and get those things and listen to them. Many of the things inside those messages will be repeated in the course of this, but we can never hear them enough, all right? The Lord is good. All right, Mark chapter 4, from that verse 24. That's not the main one for today. I just want to remind us. The Bible says, let me quickly go to the Amplified Bible so that I don't spend any time. The Bible says in verse 24 that Jesus said to them, this is the principle of life. Be careful what you are hearing. Please notice this. Be careful what you are hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to the truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge. Virtue meaning the power, right, of God, the amount of the power of God or the grace of God that comes back to you, and more besides will be given to you. That's what we have been discussing. Please notice that we are supposed to seek for these things as men seek for silver and as men seek for money, as men seek for material possessions. They get up every day trying to work for it. He said that's how we are supposed to seek the wisdom and the knowledge of God. Now, so I've been emphasizing this. Please listen to this. And let me just continue my message. Let's get into the scriptures I have for today. Let me not take any time. I read that Mark chapter 4 just to remind us of where we are. All right? We are looking at the issue of how the power in the word of God is released. You give it attention. Please listen to this. The first thing he said is be careful what you hear. You know why he said that? Because what matters most, all right, in life is what enters into your ears. Those things determine what your heart produces, all right? And that thing that begins to flow out of your heart, what the Bible calls the issues of life, all right, now affect your life in every way. That is, it first starts from where what you hear. Let me just remind us of this before I go into the main thing for today. If you go and listen to our series in the book of Genesis, when we began to study Genesis then, I explained a principle then. You will see, I'm not reading it now, but just go there. Go and read the encounter between Satan and Eve, all right? The serpent and Eve. This was what happened. The serpent came to Eve and said, has God said you shouldn't go near this tree? And what did she say? He said, we must not even touch it. Not only shouldn't we eat it, we must not touch it. He said, the day we eat of it, we will die. Then Satan began to speak to her. And he said to her, what was the first thing? You will not surely die. Now, please listen to this. Be careful what you hear. He said to her, you will not surely die. Be careful what you hear. He said, God knew that you will become wise. That's why he said, don't eat it. If you eat of it, you will become wise, you will be like God. Then Eve looked at that fruit, and suddenly the fruit looked nice and desirable as to want to make one wise. The question is, where was she all this while? Was that fruit not there all this while? Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The fruit was there all this while, but it did not look desirable until a word was spoken, and that word created the perception of beauty in that fruit. Are you getting what I'm trying to explain? Listen, in life, there's nothing that is... When I started writing, all right? In recent time, in this ministry thing, the very first article I wrote is titled The Concept of Beauty. I said there's nothing like, you know, say, this girl is fine, this one is not fine. Guys, listen to me. It's nonsense. Did I hear an amen?
Amen.
Okay, all right? That is why every man, his wife must be the finest person to him. That's what I'm telling you, Frank. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Uh-huh. It's very, very important. Because, let me not bore you with all these sociology matters. Now, the fact is that I have, in this my little life, I'm not even an old man yet, but I've seen men change the idea of beauty while I was watching. And I've read enough, all right, to see the whole world enter into confusion. Calabar of those days, if you were not weighing 275 kg as a woman, you were not fine. You get my point. So before your wedding day, they put you somewhere and turned you into a sumo wife. Do you follow my point? So that your husband will be proud of the day of your wedding. But these days, I mean, I also wedded some years ago. Before the wedding, your wife no go greet up again. Why? She must fit into the gown. You get my point? The chop now. No, my gown has been made. I must fit in. No. Do you want someone to explain? It's not the reciprocal of what we're doing just a few decades ago. Men, then, will die for sumo wives. This one, they'll be looking for women that are about to vanish. Why? They say it is fine. What does that tell you? I'll tell you simply. How did it come to be? That's the point I'm getting to. It's simple. They watch television. That's all. You don't know how these things come. You buy magazines. That's all. What am I saying? It is what you are told. That's what it is. It's what you are told. And that suddenly, you're not a bad person. No. Are you getting my point? So don't think that I just don't say this one, fine. Nonsense. You were told over time that this is good. And that's why you start perceiving it as good. That's what I'm saying. Eve did not perceive that fruit looked nice until somebody suggested and first persuaded her that the thing will make her wise. Believe me, the concept of beating your mind is what you have been trained to expect from that thing. That's all. That's all. I mean, if I put a pack of crisp 1,000 naira notes here, man, the thing is beautiful. You know what I'm saying? I pack it like this, maybe 10 bundles. Each bundle is 100 grand. 10 bundles is what? 1 mila. Oh, may God bless you. You know mathematics. But let us assume I take the same color, paint it on ordinary pieces of paper, and stack it there. You won't even notice. You go, your look begin come out. I say, Pastor, should we sweep it into the dustbin? Are you still using it? So it is what you're expecting from me. That's what I'm going to explain. So one of the greatest things, in fact, not the greatest, one of them, I think about the greatest thing you can do for yourself in life is to aspire to get to a point where your perception of things is what God says about them. Where your perception of things is just what God says about them. It's very important. The greatest thing you can do for yourself so as to keep mentally together. There's a series I'm going to, those of you on my mailing list, you soon start getting a series on keeping Christian sanity, keeping your sanity as a believer. I've written the first one, but you won't get it for a while because we haven't finished the one on the issue of increase and breakthrough. One way by which you can keep your head together is to get to a point where your perception of everything is dictated by what God says about that matter. So if God says something is good, you read it, drink it, hear it, imbibe it. Next time you look, the thing will look good. So Paul said, go and read Philippians chapter 1, one of my favorite scriptures, verses 9 and 10, that I want you to learn to approve those things that are excellent. It's a training process.
It's a training process. It's a training process. There are many things in life that we have been trained to approve those things that are not excellent. The example I give all the time, please, don't be angry with me. All right? As I was growing up, I too saw it. If you see a man and his wife talking, and the man turns to the wife and says, honey, and the wife says, sugar, sweetie, you know, all kinds of sweet, sweet names. Are they good? Yes, go and read Ecclesiastes. They are beautiful names. And I think you should call your wife honey, Frank, sugar, sweetie. Call your wife everything. But then, did you notice? If you hear, I grew up also. If you hear a traditional woman call her husband my lord, you're like, which village this one come from? Yeah. If her husband comes home and she kneels to greet him, say, can a bush woman be this one? In the year 2010, do they still make your type? But what's God's judgment? The only person commended in the Bible for the way she called her husband was Sarah. And what was the commendation about? That he looked and didn't say, hey, be my sugar. Oh, did she say so? She said what? My Lord. Do you get my point? We learn, it's not about how it feels. That's what happened to me. That's what I did. I trained myself with the word of God. So I learned that this one is better than this one. Paul said, learn to approve the ones that are what? Excellent. Not even do them. There are things that don't concern you. You don't have to do. If you're a single man waiting, concern you what? Who calls what? Who? Or who calls who? What? Sorry. Are you going to follow my point? But the issue is, how do you relate with it? One of the major problems we have, sorry, please listen, we're in Enugu here, so let me say it. One of the major problems we have in Eastern Nigeria is we respect rich people too much. That's why, it's a simple reason why we have more kidnappers than any other region of Nigeria. It's a simple reason why we have more armed robbers than any other region of Nigeria. My friends will tell you, they can take night bus to go to the north, but they can't take night bus to come back from the north. It doesn't come from the desire to steal. We are just normal people. We are normal. You know, if we are not born again, we are normal sinners. The difference is that when a rich man appears, how do we relate with him because of his wealth? One of the problems we have in Nigeria today is that we respect people for their money's sake without asking where it came from. Take a place like United States of America. There's no rich man that you can name now that I don't know what he does. You name Bill Gates, I tell you about Microsoft. You talk about Dell, I'm using a Dell right here. You talk about, what's his name? Steve Jobs. You either you know you own an iPad, you've seen an iPad, or use his iMac, or you use an iPod. It's all over the place. You know what he does. If you mention the name Warren Buffett, I easily start telling you what Warren Buffett does in a society. If we look at a thief, he arrives with his fine big car, we refuse to take a lift. The young ones won't steal. I don't know where you get my point. He comes home to marry. And all the men and women, the parents said, no, he can't marry my daughter. Their other children won't steal. Because they realize that this money doesn't buy anything in this place. They have a saying in my place. They say, if a man leaves the home in the morning to go and look for money, and he meets honor and dignity on the way, he goes back home. He realizes he does not need money anymore. Because if he had gotten the money, he would have bought honor and dignity with it. What am I saying? When we let people know that money without an explanation of a source does not buy honor and dignity, they will stop stealing. When a professor walks in, do you get my point? And you give him a seat before you give a boy, you don't know where he got his money from. You are telling the other children, don't steal. Read. I'm talking about learning to approve what? The things that are excellent. Let me get back to the story of Eve. Jesus said, be careful how what you hear. Eve paid attention. Suddenly, the fruit that has been there all this while, that there was nothing to eat to. When they say, go near that fruit, he said, for what? I bet like person won't die for your eye. Then one day she looked, suddenly became what? Desirable. What stimulates your desire is based upon what you have heard. That's why Jesus said, be careful what you hear. Are you getting my point? This is what I'm teaching this season. Let's be careful what we hear and how much we hear it. The word of God creates. You know, you read scriptures. Like David said, I was glad when they said to me, let us go to the house of the Lord. You think he was born like that? No. It's because of studying the word of God. You get my point? That the desire for his presence began to make him glad. Not because he feels like that naturally. When a man starts finding it difficult to take the time out to go and hear the word of God or study the word of God, he's backsliding in heart already. Go and check what he hears most of the time. It's the problems of life. He reads too much newspapers. I was in a church once. Anytime the pastor would appear, he'd go talk. I was just getting grieved. Then something happened. And I told my friends, I said, you know this man's problem? They said, what? I said, he reads too much of Nigerian newspapers. Then something happened. I traveled. When I came back to that church then, my friends gathered me and said, Banky, do you know what happened? I said, what? They said, in your absence, pastor came to church and said, I have realized that I am becoming a Nadeko prophet. You know the days of Nadeko. Therefore, he said, for a season, he's taking himself off newspapers. It was a case of, I said so. Listen, there's nothing really about some of the things we call fine or not fine. It's what we have been told. Let Agbani Darego try Miss Whatever 100 years ago. She won't even pass. In fact, she won't even think about it. You try Miss Calabar 100 years ago. They go look you. Agbani, Miss Waiting. You mean Mistake Calabar or Miss Calabar? 100 years later, she's winning. Are you getting my point? And like I said, what do? We train ourselves with the word of God. And listen to me. When you have learned with God's word to think the way God thinks about things, you know what Jesus now said? He said, God's power and his virtue will be made available to you. That's a matter of fact. Life is not about struggling. It's about hearing the right things and believing the right things. That's all it is about. Let's continue. That's just trying to get ourselves back to exactly where we were in this series of teachings. All right, the Lord is good. Now let's read the scriptures for today. All right. The first one I want to read is the one we stopped with last time, the book of Proverbs chapter 2. I'll read about three, then I continue with my teaching for today. Let's just quickly read them. The book of Proverbs chapter 2. I'll quickly read verse 4. We have been reading it for some time, so if you're not there, just listen to me, then I'll jump to the next one. He said, okay, let me just start from verse 1 again. My son, if you receive my sayings, treasure my commandments within you, you make your ear attentive to wisdom. Verse 2, the same thing Jesus said, be careful what you hear. He said, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. If you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. He now said in verse 4, if you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. Let's stop there, all right? We've read this one before. Then quickly open to the book of Ezekiel chapter 33, one of my favorites again. Ezekiel 33. I'll read this, then I will explain something. And then we'll be done for today. Let me quickly read from verse 30. Ezekiel, as you know, was prophesying, warning Israel about the things that are going to happen. God now looked at him at a time I was speaking to him concerning how people were relating with his ministry. He said, but as for you, son of man, your fellow citizens who talk about you by the walls
And in the doorways of the houses speak to one another, each to his brother, saying, come now and hear what the message is which comes forth from the Lord. And they come to you as people come and sit before you as my people and hear your words, but they do not. He said, but they do not do them. Yes. For they do, that is, they persist in doing that which is the lustful desires expressed by their mouth, and their heart goes after their gain. That is what profits them materially. And behold, you are to them, please, this is my emphasis, verse 32, like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. For they hear your words, but they do not practice them. So it comes to pass, as it surely it will. So when it comes to pass, then they will know that a prophet has been in their midst. Verse 32 is my emphasis. He said, you are to them like a sensual song by one who has a beautiful voice and plays well on an instrument. In summary, you are a preacher. You are to them like an entertainer. That's the summary. The difference between you and Two-Face, as far as they are concerned, is that Two-Face jams on Friday night, you jam on Sunday morning. That's the difference. They go as a habit to your presence. It's entertainment. Let me say something to you. I have looked at life today. I tell people, if you're a pastor of a church, don't ever judge your congregation by the people who come on Sunday morning. You are fooling yourself. You are fooling yourself. You want to know how many people you have? When is your midweek service? Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. That's when you should count. If you want to deceive yourself and say we are the biggest church in the world, count on Sunday morning. That is when those who came to see Michael Jackson come. I was watching this man yesterday, 2 days ago on TV, Joel Osteen. Joel Osteen was being interviewed by Piers Morgan, he and his wife. Piers Morgan is a person who took over from Larry King as the main talk show person on CNN. Larry King retired in December. And when he introduced him, listen to this. He said, I bring for you today a preacher, rock star. You hear what I said? He said, he's a rock star. Joel and Victoria Osteen. He kept on hammering on that fact that this guy is a rock star. He said that thing in my hearing more than 5 times. In the interlude, he said, author, preacher, husband, rock star. Rock star. He said, because he's a British man, just moved to the United States. He said, when I came, you were the first person I saw on TV. And I've been watching you since. You know what he's saying? You are my Sunday or evening entertainment. I don't know whether you are hearing me. P.S. Morgan sat down and declared a preacher an entertainer. That is, your words don't mean jack. Some listen to Snoop Doggy Dogg. Some listen to Beyonce. Some listen to Eddie Murphy and his descendants. Chris Rock. You understand? Some listen to Joel Osteen. One of the reasons why Pastor Banky refuses till today to pastor a church that meets on Sunday morning is that it irritates me to be an entertainer. Ask those who help me book appointments. Ask Yinka, ask Rocket, ask them. When you're organizing a major program and you write me a letter inviting me, I hate to go. It's our 17th anniversary. This man is coming. This one is coming. This one is coming. You will also come. Not this guy. This guy ain't going anywhere like that. You want to entertain your church members? May God bless you, keep you, make his face shine upon you, lift up his countenance upon you, give you peace, prosperity, health, and long life. But this guy ain't coming. I'm not saying it's evil. But I perceive most times that people just want entertainment. Oh, I like the way that guy talks. I like the color of his suit, the way he matches his tie. You know, when he's talking, and preachers actually practice to entertain people.
In case you have somebody that said that this guy is hard to find. That's why I'm hard to find. That's all. Some young people came from one Anglican church, the manager that day, to invite me. They came having plotted for 2 years. I did not even know. They're young people. You see them, very young. How did they catch me? It's simple. They said I should please come and preach for 4 days. That's no entertainment. And we explained to them that Saturday will be hard. They said, okay, no problem. They will manage it 3 days. Then their diocese had some ordination ceremonies. They had to shift the program. The day the guy came here to come and inform Yinka, he was feeling bad. You could see it on his face. He finally went and got a letter from their vicar apologizing for shifting the date of the program and begging me to please honor the young men by coming another day. It was after I finished preaching, I realized that total they had planned for that program almost 3 years. And when I asked them, how long do I have to speak? They would tell me, 1 hour, 45 minutes. And I look at them and say, do you think this is the only thing I have to do today? That is, Oga, please talk. We want to learn. So you see young people, they come and invite me. I go. Then you see big man, they find me. I know they go. Because one guy is looking for Michael Jackson. The other guy is looking. Michael Jackson is dead. They don't realize it. The other guy is looking for a teacher of the word of God. And for me, that's what's important. Believe me. For a lot of us, and let me just say this, this is the next thing I want to say. You don't know how much of entertainment factor is in your soul. You don't. You think you do. You don't. I don't. I assume I know. I try to be good. But the fact is that nobody really knows. Only God. You know, you don't know your heart as much as God does. Men can be full of deception. Open to the next scripture. You see what I'm saying. The book of James chapter 1. Sometimes people say that churches in Nigeria are growing. Do you know I hate hearing it? The question, how do you know? Some people, disco on Saturday night, church on Sunday morning. Still the same disco continuing. No difference. It's still what? Entertainment. And listen, how you feel when a man is preaching does not in any way indicate whether you are an entertainment receptor or a word receptor. Once I was watching a program on TV and they were analyzing the life of PDD. You know PDD? And I remember this particular one. They say he organized the, of course, when they were doing the days of breakdance, he was a breakdancer. One of those backup people that did breakdance those days. All right? The guy's an entertainer. And then one young man they showed, a young boy, this boy will be like 14, 13, 14, not more than 14. And when Diddy finished dancing, the boy went crazy. Oh, he's the man, he's the man. Oh, he's the man. Was it the Holy Spirit? Believe me. All your goosebumps, when a man is preaching, it can just be the same entertainment spirit. That's what I'm saying. One day, Michael Jackson waved out of a window, and one young guy said, "Who?" Now, he waved at a few thousands of people. And one young guy said, "Oh, he waved at me. Oh, he must love me." He must love you. He waved at how many people? Like 6,000 people staring at a building where he was hiding. What am I saying? You can go to church and fall under the power. It has not proved to you or me or the preacher that the word is touching you. People fall under the power when musicians come on shit. No. You haven't seen it before? Musicians go dance, 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 come on shit. All the bass for this side goes out under anointing. When he will fling his cap like this, you think T.B. Joshua has just come from his sand mountain that he used to go to do this? Oh, you didn't know T.B. Joshua when he was really doing his occultism. He has refrained. You didn't know him. Well, people follow him now. You guys don't know when this guy was, when his madness was just beginning. Right now, his mental state has stabilized into pure Christness. You know what I'm saying? People will be following him as jokers. Then he will show up
he will kneel on sand and get up